Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello there. Welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. I'm Gary Zimak, and I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. I hope you can stick around for the entire show. Today, we're going to be looking at the Mass readings for the Solemnity of Christ the King. Now, this is a big day. This is a solemnity. And with this Sunday, this solemnity, this celebration today, we're going to be closing out the church year. This is the last Sunday in the liturgical or the church year. Next Sunday, believe it or not, we begin Advent. But today we focus on Christ as our King. You know, he's not a king as we would expect, as we would expect an earthly king. We have this image of a king sitting on a throne wearing a crown. We've all seen what an earthly king looks like. But Christ's kingdom is a little bit different. He rules an invisible kingdom. We can't really see it. And in all honesty, when we look at his reign, he reigned best and most powerfully when he was hanging on a cross. And that is a really hard concept for us to understand. But as we look at these readings, we're going to be reminded of the fact that ultimately, he's our king. If we are considering ourselves to be followers of Christ, if we are saying that, yes, I am a Christian, I am a disciple, I am a follower of Christ, then I should be ready and willing to accept Christ as my king. This gospel from today's Mass, it's a tough one. And this is one of those it's chosen specifically. And as you've noticed, if you've been listening to these shows for the past few weeks, the church has been reminding us of the fact that our life on earth is not permanent. We will, at one point, when our earthly life is over, be judged, and a decision is going to be made. You know, I try to keep it upbeat on this show, and I believe this is good news, but let me just say that we're going to end up in one of two places for all eternity. It's either going to be heaven or hell. Now, don't panic, right? Don't panic, but I have to tell you the truth. If we have deliberately rejected Christ, and we've got to make a decision to do that and say, you know, that we and not accepted his mercy and not have not been willing to follow him, to listen to him, to obey him, then there is a possibility that we don't end up in heaven. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it works. However, it's not that complicated. And that's why I always tell you, don't worry, don't panic about this. We're talking about a merciful God. He wants you in heaven. He's got a room for you in heaven right now. He's going to do everything possible to make that happen. All you have to do is follow Jesus and do what he says. And when you mess up, you seek forgiveness through the sacrament of reconciliation. That really is all there is to it in order to ensure that you get to heaven. Now, the day in and day out, it's not that easy. But this reminder in the gospel for all of us, this is a challenging gospel, but this is the beauty of sacred scripture. Because you see, the Lord speaks to us through scripture. It's not a book. So he's going to challenge us today. He's going to remind us of the fact that one day we are going to see him in heaven as a king. And he's going to make some decisions. And based on how we lived our lives, a determination will be made if we will live with him forever, for all eternity in heaven, or if we're going to literally cast ourselves into hell, because he doesn't do that. We're the ones who decide that we want nothing to do with him, and we're going to reject him and reject his teaching. You know, so that's going to happen at the end of our life. But if you're trying your best, and I can all, in all honesty, with all of my heart, I really believe this. If you're trying your best to follow Jesus and you're giving it your best shot, no matter how many times you messed up, you're going to end up in heaven. You got to try, though. So don't let this gospel panic you. We'll talk more about it. Now you're probably getting all scared. Don't turn the show off, but it's going to be okay, I promise. Don't let it panic you. Let it give you, look at it as a call to action, an evaluation of your life. You know, as you come to the end, as we come to the end of the church year, the church wants us to take a look at our lives and evaluate things. Because we're about to enter into the Advent season, which is a time of preparation. This is a time to do things. This is a time to begin anew, right? Things that maybe need to be adjusted in our lives, to prepare to welcome Jesus, to grow closer to him during the Advent season. So obviously, in order to do that, what do we have to do? We have to assess where we stand. And that's what this is all about. Okay, so let's pray. Let's settle in. This is all good news, I promise you. As we look at the readings for the solemnity of Christ the King, you know, this really is good news. The fact that he's in charge, that he's the king, look around you. Are you disillusioned by our earthly rulers? Probably, right? You're going to, when you look around, you do see people who are not ruling or making decisions to benefit the people over which they have control. But a lot of these people are out for themselves, and they aren't making laws that would please God, right? We know. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. So isn't it good to know that ultimately we serve a good and loving King, Jesus Christ, who cares about us? So much so that he was willing to sacrifice his life on the cross. That makes me feel really good. So let's pray right now. Since we are looking at the solemnity of Christ the King, let's speak to Jesus now. All right, will you join me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, as we turn toward you and we focus on the solemnity of your kingship, we ask you, Lord, to help us to recognize your power, to recognize that you are in charge, and to willingly surrender our lives to you. Lord, we place into your hands all of our concerns, all of our problems, all of the things which cause us to worry. We give you our family members. We give you our very lives. And we ask you, Jesus, to lead us closer to your Father, to help us to know you more, to help us to serve you more, and to help us to love you more. And ultimately, one day, Lord, we ask to be able to live with you forever in heaven, where we'll be reunited with family members and be in the company of the angels and the saints, and get to see you, Jesus, face to face. Lord, I also ask for a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit today. Please give me the words for this show. I know you have a message to deliver. Please help me know what that message is. And open all of our minds and our hearts to be able to follow and hear what you have to say. We thank you, Jesus. We ask this in your mighty name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimak. This is the Gary Zimak Show. For more information about the work that I do, if you want to find out about my books, if you want to find out about my daily podcast, Following the Truth, or if you want to become, get on my the list for my daily email devotional called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, which you can do free of charge just by providing your email address, visit followingthetruth.com for all of that, okay? And then you can also contact me through the website, or you can email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. Before I go any further, I do want to thank you for, and just let you know how much I love being able to do this show, how much I love being able to hang out with you once each week. And, you know, also through the daily podcast, really every day, every Monday through Friday as well. It means a lot to me. Your support, your prayers, your financial contributions, you're helping me. You are enabling me to keep doing this show. I don't charge for it. And your financial support and your prayers help me to keep going. So I want to let you know how much that means to me. So I just am so grateful to be with you. I mentioned the gospel for the Solemnity of Christ the King. It's a tough one, but it's one you've heard before. It's a little lengthy, so just settle in. This is Matthew chapter 25. We will start, as we do each week, with the gospel. We'll let the gospel lead the way. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Now, this is Jesus. You're going to hear the words of Jesus directed to his disciples, and you know that's you and me, so he's talking to us here. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." I do want to pause here to kind of like set this up a little bit. You see this idea of Jesus sitting on his throne. Now, really, what we're talking about in this gospel is when he comes at the end of time, his second coming. And we all know he's going to come back. We don't know when. And really, that's going to be at the end of the world, whenever that will be. He will come again in glory. However, this gospel also applies to you and me when we die. If we die before Jesus comes back again in glory, the same thing applies, because we're going to be judged. We don't get judged twice. We get judged once at the end of our lives. Now, he might come before that point, you know, but I guess at that point when he comes, it is the end of our life. So it's either you're going to die a natural death, or Jesus is going to come and the world is going to end that way. But at any rate, you get judged once when you die. And then if that happens before he comes in glory, in his glorious second coming, then everybody's going to know that that's going to be made public. In other words, you're not going to be judged again. We have what's called a particular judgment and a general judgment. I'm not going to get into all the details, but essentially that's what it is. You get judged once when you die, or when Jesus comes in glory, whichever comes first. Let's simplify it and just say that. Okay, so when the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say to them in reply, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left. So, okay, so the ones on the right, they're all getting in. They're everybody that is going to heaven, okay? Then he, and this is what you're going to hear now is a complete, the opposite of what you just heard. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me." Then they will answer and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison, and not minister to your needs?" He will answer them, "Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me." And they will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, the message is pretty simple. When we are kind to somebody else, we're being kind to Jesus. That's what he's telling us to do. The two greatest commandments, love God and love one another. That's all we need to do to get to heaven. But this, right? I mean, it's a simple message, but this gospel reminds us that we are supposed to do something. You and me, we're alive today. We're alive for a reason, not to just be comfortable. We are alive to do good in some way. You know, I've said before, even if we can't leave our homes, even if we are unable to get out and drive and, you know, we don't have a car, we're incapable of walking even, we could pray for people. We can offer up our suffering. There is something we can do. But the point is, we are alive right now. The reason we are not dead is because God has work for us to do. So by being nice to other people, kind, good to other people, we are showing our love for Jesus. And we're going to be judged on that one day. How well we did that. So the takeaway is, let's accept. Look, we are all lacking in some way. Every time I hear this gospel, it shakes me up. And it should, because we're not perfect. But let's change. Let's make that decision to change today, because it's not too late. Now is the time. Let's see, that this is my job, to tell you this. And you know what? It is good news. It's not scary, because Jesus sent us his Holy Spirit to help us. Well, what if I can't love other people? Yeah, you can. You can love them even if you don't feel anything. And you have the help of the Holy Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love. So we are able to take care of those around us in some way. A kind word, a kind deed, praying for them. We can do that. And we have to do that. Because that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Now, of course, the only way we get to heaven is by virtue of what Christ did for us on the cross. He redeemed us. He opened the gates of heaven. He reserved a place for us. We can't get there just by doing good alone. We get there because of what Christ did for us. But in order to get there, we need to make sure that we are following him and obeying him and loving God and loving other people. Again, a really simple message. But if he really is your king, if you really are following him, if he really is your Lord, then you'd be willing to listen to him, right? And so that's what this all comes down to. Let's look at the first reading. It's Ezekiel, the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, beginning in verse 11. "Thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep. As a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so will I tend my sheep. I will rescue them from every place where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest, says the Lord God. The lost I will seek out. The strayed I will bring back. The injured I will bind up. The sick I will heal, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy, shepherding them rightly. As for you, my sheep, says the Lord God, I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats." Now, you catch that reference? "I will judge you, my sheep, says the Lord God, between one sheep and another, between rams and goats." That ties in perfectly to the gospel. And I think this is the perfect reading for the final Sunday of the church year. The reminder that, yeah, there will be a judgment, but if you tried your best, it doesn't mean you never messed up. If you tried your best and really, with all your heart, sought to follow Jesus, you will go to heaven. Yeah, you might need to have time, spend some time being purified in purgatory, but that's okay. That means you will end up in heaven. You know, but we just want to do our best here to make sure that, number one, we get there, and number two, that we have to spend a minimal amount of time being purified in purgatory. The responsorial, see, I told you this is all good news. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 23, the most popular of all the psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The message for us, you know, the real thing that I think we should focus on, in addition to the fact that, yeah, we're going to be judged, we're expected to do something while we're on this earth. But the real good news is that we have a heavenly paradise awaiting us when we die. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? You know, we shouldn't assume that our judgment is going to be a miserable experience. If you tried your best, it's not going to be. You're going to get to meet Jesus Christ face to face. You're going to meet your Father. You're going to finally meet your Heavenly Father. You're going to get to see the angels, the saints. You're going to see relatives who have died. I mean, it's going to be a fantastic experience. There will be total happiness, and it will last forever. There's no aches and pains. There's no financial problems. There's no sickness. There's no worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be the same. Every day is going to be the same. It's all going to be fantastic. That's the good news. And I say today, let's focus on that. But let's look at it with one eye and say, that's going to be great. I can't wait. Jesus is so good to me to redeem me on the cross so that this is possible. And then with the other eye, look at ourselves and look at the areas that could use some improvement. We could all stand to use some improvement. We'll talk more about this as we go through Advent. There's something we can do to grow closer to Jesus. Let's make this Advent the best one that we've ever had, okay? But we'll talk more about that next week. When we begin the Advent season. The second reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning in verse 20. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to his God and Father, whom he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority. When he has destroyed, I'm sorry. Let me read that again. Then comes the end. We're talking about the end times here. When Jesus hands over the kingdom to his God and Father, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. When everything is subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. A lot of confusing verbiage there, but essentially what we're talking about is the end of time, when evil is vanished, or vanquished, I guess is the more appropriate way to say that. And the Father reigns, and Jesus is king. You know, that's what is going to happen in the end. And right now, evil is permitted to exist. So what I would say to you today is focus on what awaits you in heaven. Focus on becoming a better subject to your King Jesus. How can you be a better subject? How can you obey the King better? And look at all the areas in your life where Jesus might not be king, where something else or someone else might be king. We've all got them. What can we do to worship King Jesus more, especially during this Advent season, you know, so that when Christmas Day comes around, and yeah, Christmas Day externally is going to look different this year, but ultimately, Jesus is still in charge. He's still king. We celebrate the Word becoming flesh. Nothing changed about that, right? We're going to be forced to really focus on the true meaning of Christmas this year because of the fact that it's going to look a little different. And the focus should be Jesus and what we can do to grow closer to Him. But boy, it can be really good if we give it our best. So there you go. You have the Mass readings for the final Sunday of the church year, the Solemnity of Christ the King. Don't panic. Know that your earthly life is going to come to an end. And look, if you're suffering right now, maybe you are struggling with some things. That could be good news. But right now, He has us here. We're still alive. You're listening to this. I'm speaking. We are still alive right now. And that's because He has something for us to do. So let's pray for one another that we can really please Him and do what it is that He wants us to do to make those changes so that Jesus truly is our King. I look forward to being back with you next week on right here on the Gary Zimek Show. In the meantime, if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And as I bring this show to a close, I want to do two things. Number one, thank you for your financial contributions. You are enabling me to continue doing this show and my daily podcast and my daily email newsletter and support my family because I do this this full time and I depend on your generosity. If you have not yet made a donation and you would like to help me, especially if you'd like to become a monthly sponsor, if you would become a monthly sponsor for $10 a month, that would help me so much. Because then I have at least some income that I can count on right now with all speaking being shut down. I can't earn any income speaking. But it enables me to know what I'm dealing with financially and also to be able to provide these shows for you free of charge. If you could do that for me, I would really appreciate it. You know, only if you can. And you could do that by going to followingthetruth.com. And clicking on donate. That's all you have to do. Followingthetruth.com. Click on donate. You'll be directed to PayPal where you'll be able to make your secure donation either to become a monthly subscriber, which can be canceled at any time. So you're not locked into that. You're not locked into it. It's very easy to cancel it. If you ever have trouble, you can just email me and I can cancel it for you or to make a one-time donation. I thank you in advance for your generosity. And I want you to know how much you mean to me and that I'm praying for you every day. And I would ask that you would pray for me in return. I would greatly appreciate that. I'm going to run now. Remember, Christ the King. That's what we celebrate this weekend. And next week, get ready because we're about to start Advent. So let me just say it this way. Let's get ready to get ready for next week. All right. God bless you. Talk to you soon.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.